Wednesday. Some people call it Hump Day, whatever you want to call it. I like Wednesdays because it's kind of halfway through the week. You know, people are getting excited, things are getting done. And there's still, you know, two more days before the weekend. So there's still lots of productivity coming up. Now, what Mel and I specialize in is creative financing. But not only creative financing, it's creative financing in its own, you know, lane. It's creative financing with multifamily units, okay, and solely owning the assets that we purchase. Now, why is that important? That's a whole other show about solely owning. But why is creative financing important, okay? It allows us to get into deals that we would not or might not be able to get into with you know, the standard financing. You know, the big five banks here in Canada, the big four or five banks in the States might not allow us to purchase certain units, certain multifamily income properties, because it might not meet their thresholds or their ratios, that type of thing. So creative financing, oh, I think I hear Mel. There we go. I'm just talking, Mel.
Did you miss me?
I did miss you.
It's funny. I'm going to completely interrupt the pattern here. I was telling Dave earlier, I just got off a podcast with Invest Her podcast.
And H-E-R, I said, Invest Her?
Yes, Invest Her podcast, which is awesome. Super exciting. And I was telling Dave, I'm like, it was very different because usually we do all our podcasts together. I said, I had a lot of fun. It was wonderful. But it was different doing it without you.
And I agree, like this, whatever, 2 minutes I'm on, I kind of, yeah, no, I thought that it was earth-shattering.
Were you a little nervous?
No, because it's creative finance.
I asked that because I got nervous on that podcast, and I usually don't get as nervous anymore. Yeah. So I do so many, but yeah.
And I think what's so, we know what questions people are going to ask usually, and we know, again, we know our lanes. I know what Melanie is going to want to talk about. I know what I'm going to talk about. I know her strong suit. I know my strong suit. I feel it just flows back and forth.
Yes.
Very easily. So I was just going over, it's Wednesday. There's still lots of productivity left in the week. I was talking about creative financing. And before we forget, we're going to be doing Q&A at the end as well. Okay, so stay to the end. That's our favorite part when we take some answers. We take some questions and hopefully provide you with some quality content answers. But I was saying, the one thing I love about creative financing and what we do, like Arlene,
yes,
right, again, multifamily, creative financing, and solely owning. But there's been some deals, and let's think of the last 50-plex we just bought a couple weeks ago, and the 14-plex we're closing, well, maybe not this week, but maybe hopefully next week. The institutions probably wouldn't have funded them. And what I mean by that, what I was saying is there's different ratios, different thresholds that these buildings might not have met yet.
Yes.
But creative financing comes in and allows you to get those buildings that you want.
Yeah, absolutely. I gave the example this morning actually on the podcast about the 17-plex that we bought and a couple years back, and it was through creative financing and how, and I'll kind of give you the example now so you know what I'm referring to, but and then we'll get more into the mindset as well. But so with the creative financing, so it was an underperforming property and it was only cash flowing $500 for 17-plex, which is not a lot. The numbers don't really make sense. However, because we already had a couple of properties, it was sustainable for us to still purchase it. And the reason we chose to still go ahead is because we saw that huge potential, right, where we can refinance it, get a nice lift, and also increase its monthly cash flow as well.
Exactly. So think about $500 on 17 units. And when you take over a building, it's obviously more labor intensive, yes, and more hours go into it because you want to bring it to your standards. Not that there's wrong with what they were doing before, but get it into your groove, right? So that $500 was eaten up by management in no time, right? However, we got into the building because we saw every single one of those 17 units, the rents were relatively low compared to the market, right? So the creative financing, because this was a credit union in first place, I think they gave us 70 or 75, let's say, loan to value, and the owner held the remaining portion back, creative financing, right? So seller financing, owner financing, VTB. That couple held back 25%. So that was our 100% finance deal. So yeah, sorry. So that being said, yeah, it's still cash flow $500. Why does this matter to you? Because you can do this with you know, you can purchase these types of building with the different mindset of creative financing, and then as the units started giving notice, you know, five units later, we're up $2,000 a month. So we went from $500, add an additional $2,000, so we're up to $2,500 profit,
yeah.
Just by having, you know, a couple of units flip over. So the building was starting to come to fruition, and what did we do? Then we brought it over for a refinance at one of the bigger institutions, right? So creative financing has its place. It's so vital.
It's vital for growth.
I know.
I mean, especially when if you want to solely own, even if you have money, yes, you can use your own money, but at some point, you will get stuck. You will run out of money because that 20% down needed every time. When you bought 12 in 12 months, that 20% down every time, we wouldn't have had enough money to buy 12 in 12 months.
We
wouldn't have been able to. And we wanted to solely own them so we can pass them on to our three kids. So that was very, very important to us. So we're going to be getting into the mindset.
Yes.
But before we do, show me a little bit of love here. Give me a thumbs up. And if you haven't already, make sure to subscribe to our channel. We
yes.
post a new video every week. So make sure to hit that bell as well so you get notified when we get our new videos.
And I agree with you, Mel. And before we jump into the mindset, if we see continued love on our YouTube page, we're going to put more attention and more energy into it. Might be two videos a week, might be three. Sky's the limit, right? So the more love we get on the YouTube, then the more energy and content we'll put into it. So if you like it, again, comment below. Start asking the questions. We have Raphael beside us here. You can't see him. We have Rafa. He's going to be writing out the questions. So like I said, Q&A at the end. Start asking away. Now, let's get into some mindset.
Yes, because if you're going to do creative financing, a mind shift has to happen.
Yes.
Right? And it truly does. And I mean, if we rewind when we used to, you know, before we did the creative financing, before we had this type of mindset, we were the opposite.
Big time.
we shifted tremendously. Our mindset shifted. And let's rewind back and kind of bring people back on how we used to think, because maybe you are there as well, or maybe you already passed, you know, got through that. But essentially, Dave and I, we were all about trying to save. We were all about trying to...
What was our mindset then?
I don't know what word you're looking for. I'm stuck. Buzzers off. What?
All good. We used to be consumers.
Oh, okay. Consumer mindset. Yes.
As opposed to investor mindset.
Yes.
And don't kid yourself. Those are two night and day polar opposite mindsets.
Absolutely. Sorry. I had no idea which direction you were going with that question.
I don't blame you. Who
but
knows
yeah,
sometimes?
Yeah. Who knows sometimes? But yeah. So basically, that's exactly it, right? That consumer mindset. And even when it came to wanting to buy properties, we thought to ourselves, hey, we want to buy more properties. Let's, you know, we want to do this. Let's work as much overtime as we can in order to do so, in order to raise funds, right? So, Dave, you used to be a full-time professional firefighter. I used to work at our local college. So what did I do? I ended up teaching part-time on top of that, get extra funds coming in, and it helped for a little bit. You ended up taking every single overtime shift.
I was obsessed.
You were obsessed. He used to sing when the phone would ring.
I had an
overtime
song.
Yeah.
I love overtime. Something, 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 overtime.
Yeah, that was the song every time that he used to sing. And then, all of a sudden, you know, we found out about creative financing and our mindset shifted. Like,
yeah.
Wait a second, we don't have to trade our time for money anymore. And it was a complete life switching event, because now we realize, wait a second, I don't have to keep working all these extra hours. Dave doesn't have to start to keep taking all these overtime shifts. So then, you know, he stopped singing that song. He stopped taking overtime.
I got off the overtime and said, don't call me anymore.
So Mr. loves overtime, singing in the shower when he gets overtime, to no longer, you know, literally saying, please take me off. I don't want to be on the overtime shift anymore, because we realize that we're trading our time for money. Well, instead, we could be putting our money to work for us or using other people's money to help us get there.
Yeah. Okay. And a couple of things that I want to touch on. In the mindset, right? The mindset is going to be a couple things. What we're going to talk about. Debt. Debt used correctly is good. Okay? And I'll say that again. Debt is good. We have tens of millions of dollars of debt. And as an investor mindset versus consumer, I love that. again, I'll repeat this, I've said a couple times, our new financial controller, Jay, when our first couple of days together, we're getting to know each other, and I said, I hope to have hundreds of millions of dollars in debt one day. And he looked at me and I said, because again, the debts pay for themselves. So,
and this is good debt, right? So good debt.
It's not a sports car.
No, good debt that makes you money that can pay for things like the sports car.
So mindset is going to be debt is good. The other thing too is not getting fixated on interest. We're going to dive into that as well. And the other thing is seeing the big picture. Whoops, hit the mic there. You probably heard a thump. Seeing the big picture, okay? Instead of looking at the today, the now, the how does this, you know, affect me now, understanding that today's pain is going to be tomorrow's gain. So that's going to be the mindset stuff we're going to talk to. Again, start putting your questions below, because when we get to the Q&A, we're gonna answer a bunch of them. So let's start off, Mel, with the mindset stuff.
Yes.
The debt thing. Like, and I'm just thinking to myself back then with the debt.
Well, even interest, right?
Yeah.
Interest rate. We used to be a bit obsessive about the interest rate, right? Got to get that best interest rate. And yeah, we still all, of course we want good interest rate. Who doesn't? That's normal. That's human nature. And at the end of the day, I don't want to have to pay more than I have to. However, if I have to pay a little bit more interest, let's say to my private lenders, of course, are you going to pay more? Yes, you're going to pay more. However, if that means that I'm able to buy cash flowing properties using none of my own money, and now I'm growing my portfolio, I have these properties that I never owned before, zero money down here. This is infinite return on investment. And that's exactly what it is. So yes, I'm okay to pay a bit more interest as long as I have a lot more coming in and it pays for itself.
Exactly. And when you're using debt, if you're doing it correctly, right, other people's money, people tell us all the time, well, how do you pay for other things? Or what happens if this happens? Okay, well, exactly. If you're using other people's money, creative financing in order to purchase your assets, then you have your own money, your own savings to deal with those situations, right? If something goes wrong, you know, something, you take a left turn somewhere, something happens, well, because you're using debt, good debt, and creative financing, you're not putting your money up, so now you have money to get yourself out of some jams.
Yeah, it reminds me as well, I mean, throughout the years, people always ask us, have you guys ever had a mentor? Yes, absolutely. We spent over $100,000 in mentors, and I don't regret a penny, because I'm okay to pay this much as long as it makes me this much, right? And that's the thing, again, the difference between a consumer, the consumer will only see debt attached to that.
Mm-hmm.
The investor will see, wait a second, if that can take me from here, and then I'm able to fast forward my growth, learn from your cost mistakes, reduce my costs, and they see the value in it, right? So that's the difference, again, between consumer mindset and the investor mindset, even when it comes to personal growth and investing in yourself.
Yeah, and I keep thinking back of us before, right? And that's why I love talking about us in the past, because we did, before we used creative financing, we did not see the bigger picture. All we would see is, well, I'm going to have to pay extra every month to this lender, this owner
we would
financing.
See percent, yeah, we'd see dollar sign for now or interest rate for now. We wouldn't see in the future.
And the 50-plex, for example, right? And we're going to be showing our Action family more in depth into it, but just to scratch the surface, so we utilize creative financing in order to purchase 100% of the building, or 100% of the debt, okay? Is that the cheapest way, the cheapest debt you can get out there? No, right? Because you're using creative financing, sometimes it's higher interest. So today is the pain, we're still cash flowing. So today is, let's say, the pain of this deal in particular, okay? So we're not making as much money as we could because we're fully financed. But down the road, once we, you know, reposition the asset, do some renovations, our method is the A-plus method,
yes.
Right? So think of a plus sign. So we take that underperforming building, and by underperforming, I mean market rents the rents are not at market value. So underperforming, you know, do what's left to make it right, to bring it up in value, okay? And that's when you get the refinance. So today, not cash flowing as much as we could. However, didn't use any of our own money. In, let's say, 8 months to 12 months from now, we bring the asset up in evaluation. We go to the one of the bigger lenders who has the best interest rates and all that. And now they're going to refinance it at a higher evaluation. So today's pain of less cash flow is for tomorrow's gain. And then we're going to own the asset for 25 years. So in the grand scheme of things.
So we own it as well.
Yeah, exactly. So in the grand scheme of things, the bigger mindset, creative financing now, more cash flow later, and then I get to own the asset down the road. So that's what investors see as opposed to consumers. And that's what sometimes when we have people talk to us and they're thinking, well, but it's going to eat into your, the interest is going to eat into your money right now. Again, yes, it will. But in a year from now, we're going to be so much further ahead that it won't matter what happened, you know, the last 12 months.
And it wouldn't matter either way, because otherwise you wouldn't buy these properties. You'd be stuck, or you'd buy one or two, like most people do, and then they're stuck again, right? This enables you to continue to grow. You become limitless, and you really do, right? We bought 12 in 12 months. We bought 69 units this month. So that's the thing. You become limitless as how much you're going to grow based on your own, you know, goals, because you are no longer relying on how much money am I bringing home from my 9-to-5 anymore. You become limitless because there's money everywhere, and you can grow your portfolio without having to, you know, constantly trade your time for money. You put other people's money to work for you. It's a win-win with them because they want to invest passively, which is amazing. You make a win-win partnership, yet you still get to solely own the units.
Yeah, and I'm curious. So if you're watching this, put some comments below. What questions do you have on creative financing? You know, what are the myths? What are you worried about? What is holding you back from utilizing creative financing strategies? Is it the knowledge piece? Is it, I don't quite understand all of it. It's the knowledge of it. Is it the fact that you don't know your exit strategy, how you're going to pay people back, which we're going to discuss soon, because the exit is the biggest thing about the mindset of creative financing. Or is it just, the myths? Are you worried? Is it the knowledge? Is it you're scared to take action? So let us know in the questions below. The questions below. Raphael's gonna tell us what they are, and then we'll address them. So the exit strategy.
And for me, I mean, if I think back about what held me back, for me it was fear. For sure, it was fear. What if I? And it came down to what if I can't pay back, these people. What if I can't pay back owner financing? I borrowed this money and I can't pay them back. Well, the issue is not taking action. The issue is you don't know how to do an exit strategy properly, which is fine. I didn't know how to do it properly either, right? I spent a lot in learning. I researched it. We've spent years doing this. So find somebody who's really, really good at knowing their exit strategy so you can learn how to do it. You got to make sure. So for me, that was holding me back. I understood creative financing. I saw the value of it, but I was fearful of doing it because I wanted to make sure that I had a clear exit strategy. Well, guess what? Found out how to have a clear exit strategy, and now that's what I do. And now we solely own over 170 units because we show people our exit strategy. Otherwise, we wouldn't be able to, and we pay them back on time every single time. We've never been late. We pay our lenders on time every month as well, right? So setting yourself up for long-term success, that's what the way should be.
Yeah, and the mindset for the exit strategy is do not touch any money that you do not have a clear exit strategy, on how you're going to pay that back, okay? So that is something that is vital here. The mindset with other people's money in creative financing, it has to be a somewhat short-term solution, okay? It cannot be a continuing thing. So what I mean by short-term, it could be 2, 3, 4, 5 years, okay? That's what I mean. So it could be as short as 6 months, could be as short or as long as, a couple of years. However, at some point, the creative financing on every particular deal, you will need to exit that, okay? So the 17-plex, like we were talking about earlier, was awesome, everything was good, but at 18 months, we were able to refinance.
Yes.
And we had, a 5 or 7 year term. That deal had to exit the creative financing and then go kind of, mainstream. So having that mindset, this is happening now, this is awesome because I get to purchase a lot of buildings within my own money, but at some point, you will have to pay it back. So do not touch a cent, a penny of creative financing unless you can see that vision, you have a plan of attack, exit before you enter.
Yes, and we're going to get to some Q&As here. So if you have any other questions, list them below, and then we'll be wrapping it up. Before I get to the Q&A, if you haven't already subscribed to our channel, please make sure to do so, subscribe, and hit the bell because we get a new video at least every week. And if you have friends who, you know, other investors that you think could benefit from our channel, please make sure to share our page as well. It goes a long way. And as we grow our page and we see that there's a need for it, we're going to continue to do videos. So please share the word. Always much appreciated.
And one thing, let us know what type of videos you want to see, right? Again, our niche, creative financing, solely owning multifamily units, okay? So now that you know that, what type of videos, what type of content, what type of knowledge do you want us to talk about? So don't be afraid, don't be shy, comment below. We always love hearing from other people.
Awesome. All right, so let's first question here. What exactly is creative financing and how do you get one? So creative financing, well, and that's a great question, and don't be hard on yourself if you don't realize this yet, because it did take me a while as well to wrap my mind around, what? I'm buying properties, but it's not my own money. How does that make sense? And I don't have partners on title, and how does that make sense? So essentially how it works, you always have to come down with the 20 or 25% if it's commercial deposit. You can't go around that. That's the rule. However, when we say creative financing, that 20 or 25% down, creative financing is when you are no longer using your own money to fund the deal. So different strategies such as owner financing, where the owner helps fund part of that mortgage. Or maybe you're going to use our friends from the States, 401k, or Canada here, RSP, to help fund the deal. So that's essentially how and what that is.
Yeah, exactly, Mel. Everyone always thinks you just have to go to a financial institution and you have to give them the 20 or 25% down payment of your own money. That's the cookie cutter, you know, inside the box. Creative financing is basically everything outside of that. Maybe not using the bigger financial institutions, using different type of lending situation or lending institutions, right? And then down payments, using creative ways to come up with the funds that aren't necessarily yours. So creative financing is a, and I love your description, but it's such a massive, you know, there's so many different ways to do it. But yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Joe, great job, guys. Thanks, Joe.
Thanks, Joe.
All right, one last question here. I'm stuck with two houses and couldn't move any further. Where do I start now? And again, I hear you. We got stuck as well. You can't continue to grow, or you have to wait till you have that appreciation. And from the sounds of it, you're an action taker. You want to grow, and you know, you might be stuck. So a couple of suggestions for you. You know, pick which lane you want to be in, right? Do you want to do joint ventures? Maybe that's an option where you find a partner and you split the profits and it's a win-win. Our personal lane is that we solely own, so we get to keep 100% of the cash flow, 100% of the appreciation, 100% of the equity, and we get to pass it on for generational wealth. So that's our passion. Find somebody who's really good at it and continue to ask them, you know, questions and whatnot. You know, if you're interested, we have a mentoring program as well. It's an A to Z. We're going to show you exactly how to do that. And most importantly, it's called the Action Program. Our mentees, our Action family, they get results. They're buying properties, you know, within weeks or months of joining our program. So if you're serious, you know, about doing that, you can send us a message and we can schedule a call with one of our mentorship specialists as well.
Yeah, and to wrap that up, we've been stuck before too. And that's what really forced us to understand and become practitioners of creative financing. So we have been stuck there. Like I said, the big five or the big four started saying, you know, no, because they have certain ratios and thresholds. And that's where creative financing will truly come in. So what I would suggest to you is get to learn creative financing. Stop going to the same institution that says no, because, you know, obviously the ratios or the criteria are not being met. And that's no fault to you. We had, I think, five or six at one point, and we hit a wall. And we're saying,
and we thought we were done.
All six buildings are cash flowing. We had two full-time jobs, right? And they were still saying no. And we were kind of like, what do you mean no? Everything is good on paper. But again, certain institutions have certain things. So I would start looking for different institutions, and I would start to learn about creative financing, because that's what allows you. Because it's limitless. Once you understand creative financing, there is no cap. There is no wall. You just got to keep going to the next one.
Yeah. You plus action plus knowledge equals limitless. So absolutely. So thank you so much for everyone who watched. Thank you as well for those who are watching afterwards. We much appreciate it. Any final thoughts before we let them go today, Dave?
Yeah, I would tell you again, the mindset is 90% of the battle. Understanding it, being okay with creative financing, understanding those concepts that we talked about, the debt and all that, that it's good if used properly, and the bigger picture. Once you have that and once you change your mindset, It'll change the way you start looking at buildings and you start looking at real estate investing in its entirety.
Yes, awesome. So thank you so much. And we'll see you in our next YouTube video coming out soon. So subscribe, hit the bell, and we'll see you next week.
Bye
for now.